Okay, good afternoon, everybody. This is Tira Warner with the Raw Divas, and I am very honored and excited to have with me on the call this afternoon Paul Neeson, who is going to be sharing with us some very exciting and very helpful information about his upcoming book, The Daylight Diet. Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. I'm really excited to share this information. I've been working on this book for quite a while now, and it's almost near completion, but I have all the information for everyone here today. I thank everyone for joining us.
Yes, we have quite a few people with us listening online, and I do want to thank everyone for being here. And for those of you who will listen after, I know, Paul, you and I recently have been having the chance to connect, and I've been getting more of an idea of what you have going on. And I just want to say that it's really fun watching you be a bit going against the grain. And you've got some fantastic articles on your site that we can refer people to after. Maybe just before we get started, why don't you give us the name of your website so that people can kind of look through those while they're listening to the call?
Sure. My main website is paulneeson.com, and Neeson spelled N as in Nancy, I-S-O-N. So that's paulneeson.com. And you can link to all my other websites from that website. And my articles page has all those great articles you're talking about.
Yeah, they're fantastic. Good. Okay, so one of the big reasons we called you this week in particular is because we've just kicked off a big detox, a 90-day detox. And one of the things that comes up for a lot of people is late-night binging, late-night eating, overeating. And I know you have a lot to say on this subject. So I wondered if you could just sort of give us an introduction into how you got started with this idea of the daylight diet, and then we can get into some of the things that you're working on and the content.
Sure. Those of you who know me that are listening, many of you have seen me lecture around the country, around the world, and I've been involved in a raw food movement now for well over 18 years now, and I've been eating a 100% raw food diet for that long as well. And I've noticed several things over the years, and one thing I've noticed is there are many people coming into the raw food diet that aren't necessarily getting healthier. Now, some people might be improving because they were so bad to begin with, but not only are some people not getting healthier, some people are actually getting worse. Some people are under the false idea that as long as it's raw, they can eat anything they want, as much as they want, in any time. And at first, when I started doing this, I believed the same thing. But I've been involved with Hippocrates Health Institute, which is a raw food health clinic here in West Palm Beach, Florida. And they take people, the average person in the world who's not doing too well on a standard American diet, and put them on a raw diet. And those people pretty much show a great improvement. Well, I noticed the difference between what those people are doing and what the average people are doing. And I noticed some common things, for example, eating at particular times. Another example is eating at the same time every day. But there's one thing that Hippocrates doesn't even do that I've noticed from all my health studies, and I've researched, and in my book I have all this information about the health advocates of the past. I'm talking about that wrote books in the 1800s or spoke about health in the 1700s. They all recommended practicing temperance when eating, which is not overeating, and also a lot of them spoke about the times we eat our food. Now, back then, people didn't have to worry about late-night eating too much because they didn't have electricity back then like we do today. So unless you had candles to light up your castle, you were pretty much going to sleep when the sun went down and you weren't overeating late at night. But now we have television and other lights in our house that emotionally keep us awake, and work keeps us away all day from actually being able to eat and enjoy food during the day. So what do people do? They come home late at night and they eat. And I've found that digestion slows down when the sun goes down. And digestion is at its best and most efficient when the sun is up. So there are some people that try to mimic the sunlight with special lighting in their house, but not even that does the trick. The only way to get the ideal digestion, which is ultimately the key to health, especially when you look at diet and health, is to eat during the daylight hours. And that's what all my research and this book is based on. And it's not just my research. Anyone can look at any scientific information out there, and it'll confirm what I'm saying. Anyone that eats a diet late at night and binges late at night is going to be overweight. They're going to have less energy. They're going to be much healthier, and they're going to have more energy, and they're going to look great, look much better if they follow the plan in the daylight diet.
I think what you just said is brilliant and really, really exciting. And one of the things I just want to interject, because I know sometimes we hear a lot of controversy and a lot of conflict and confusion when it comes to the right way to eat. But what I love is just coming back to common sense. And it's true, because I lived in the jungle actually for 6 months. And when it's dark, everything shuts down. And so what you said is just, I mean, I think this is really, really exciting. And I can't wait to hear more about what you've put into your book. But
well,
I think
not to interject what you're saying, I also lived in a jungle. I grew up in a concrete jungle in New York City. And it's known as the city that never sleeps. Well, I can tell everyone that's listening right now, it's a city that never stops eating. I mean, we just ate all throughout the night because there's so many. The brighter the lights, the more people eat. Well, I've noticed something since I moved out of the big city, because I see that happening in all cities, is as I walk down quiet and dark streets, I see TV lights on just about everywhere. And there's something about television sets and movie theaters that make people want to eat. The advertisers know what they're doing. So you can continue, Tara, and I'll answer your next question.
No, I just think it's fantastic. Part of this detox that we're doing is about don't be so obsessed about what you eat. And so many people, like, it's exactly like you said, it's also how you live. So I'm really, really glad that you're saying this, and I mean, keep going.
Well, even with the detox, what I tell everyone and anyone that's read my work, yes, diet is important and plays a big role in our health if we're sick and improving. And if we're not sick, avoiding getting sick, diet and the quality of the food is so important. However, I have found the body is so amazing and we can deal with just about any food. What's really important is when we eat it and how we eat it. This is why we see people eating a bad diet and they seem to be doing okay, but we see some people eating good foods and they don't appear to be doing okay. What I have found is those people eating the good quality foods are eating it the wrong way at the wrong times. Now, of course, if somebody eats the ideal foods at the ideal times in the ideal way, which I discuss in my book, they'll be the best they can possibly be. And that's what I want to ultimately get to. But I believe too many people pay too much attention to the quality of the food that they don't give enough attention to actually the other aspects of health, and it actually makes their issues worse. If you get stressed out so much about what you're eating and you ignore these other factors, you're defeating the purpose. It's what I call an oxymoron. I could almost call the raw food diet today an oxymoron diet, because people are paying so much attention about what they're eating, but they're not paying attention about how or when they're eating it. I've learned something. I had two dogs that I got when I moved in my house, and they were very active dogs and everything else. But when I would throw the food down on the floor, the dogs would eat that food so fast, and they would look up to me for more food. But I noticed the dogs did something that people don't do. The dogs chewed their food. Today, people eat their food so fast and they don't chew their food. How'd I know that? Because the dog did something that people don't do. I've never yet seen a dog bark with food in their mouth. But I see people talking with food in their mouth all the time. They don't chew their food correctly, and they're not creating ideal digestion for their food. And when we eat our foods at the right times, and I go through it, you know, we have a problem today. The main focus with this diet is not eating food when it's dark outside. However, there are some people that say, well, what about the summer hours? It gets dark at 10 o'clock where I live, or 11 o'clock at night even in some places. Well, in those cases, don't eat many hours before midnight or many hours before going to sleep, because that's when our body needs to be healing and cleansing and not worried about digestion. Too many people eat too late at night, and they're not letting the body do its job. And the whole key to detoxing from a diet standpoint is letting the body do its job. And when we bombard it with food and overeat and eat foods that don't belong in there, it makes the body have to work harder, using more energy than it should. The key to health is not adding things that'll create stimulation, which many people falsely believe it is. It's creating a situation where you're limiting the energy that's going out, so you're preserving the energy and preserving all the health. And that can only be accomplished through ideal digestion. And that's what this diet does. It creates ideal digestion for the body. And anyone that's ever tried this out there, I mean, I get emails all the time on my website about people that have stopped eating dinner or they stop eating after a certain time every night, and they've lost weight, they have more energy, they sleep better, their skin is amazing, and a lot of people think they can't do it because they haven't tried. That's what my book is about. It guides people of how to do it, of what the ideal times to eat, and how to overcome those barriers of, well, what if I work to a certain time and I don't get home and my whole family's used to eating at a certain time. It helps people from an emotional standpoint. It helps people from a every single standpoint possible of how to accomplish this and give you more time so you can enjoy life and not get stressed out of the things that we don't think we have the capability of doing.
I am having such a good time. You can just keep dishing it out. One of the things that I heard is just, and I know it comes up for a lot of people, is the social part, the social aspect of food and how, and I know it's a big thing for people in general, like some, you know, in partnerships, there's maybe a woman who's interested in raw food and her partner isn't necessarily. But now we have this too. I mean, it's true what you said. There are a lot of people that have this family time and this meal time, and this is their special connection time. And what I think is really interesting is getting to a place where, you know, there's nothing saying you can't sit at a table and be with those people. But we've attached so much emotional value and so many emotional ties to our food that it's like we don't know how to separate that. So it's perfectly fine and possible to create valuable time together as a family. Food doesn't necessarily need to be that time.
Exactly. For every single situation, I mean, there's an answer with this daylight diet. I mean, so many people, as you say, connect eating around social aspects and emotional aspects, and we need to get away from that. I mean, we personalize our meals by giving them names, and we do our best to make sure we eat a certain meal, and we overeat, and we just can't get enough of the food until we're sick, and then some people eat more to try to overcome their illness, but they don't realize they're actually making the problem worse. I wrote another book called Health According to the Bible, and I had the pastor of a big church. I gave him the book, and he said, I could never follow this daylight diet because I'm a social person. I have to go out and eat with a lot of people. I said, well, you know, if you're going out with a lot of people, if eating is the main focus of your thing, you know, you're not going to accomplish your ultimate goal. We have to focus off the food and focus more on the people. Here's a great example how to overcome this issue. If you really want to be at the table eating with people and so on, find an ideal time to eat with your family or friends instead of eating at a time that's not ideal for your digestion. For example, when I go out to eat with people, I have no problem going to a restaurant late at night if somebody else is eating and sitting there and talking to them or spending time with them. But if they want to eat with me, I try not to eat with people personally because, you know, I like to chew my food and digest my meal and be by myself when I eat. But if I am going to eat with somebody, I will at least make sure it's at one of the ideal times during the daylight time. It's much better to meet people for lunch than it is for dinner, in other words, is what I'm saying. Now, the ideal times to eat is what a lot of people get confused with, and this is where I believe my book really changes the understanding of everything when it comes to following certain eating schedules. A lot of people that do eat a regular schedule of eating, let's say, only two or three meals a day, they'll say, oh, I'll eat every day at 7 a.m. or 7 a.m., 12 p.m., and 6 p.m. or something. But what they don't realize is the days should not be determined, or the time should not be determined by the hands on a human clock, because that's never going to know what it is, daylight or darkness outside. What really should determine time, and I've learned this from studying the research for my new book, which is called Eating According to the Scriptures. In the Bible, the way they determined time was by the sun and the moon. So when I tell people the ideal time to eat, I don't say 9 o'clock every morning, because in the winter, 9 o'clock in the morning, it might be pitch dark outside, where 9 o'clock in the morning in the summer, it might be very bright outside. So you can't go by that. What I tell people to go by is how many hours after sunlight, wherever you live, that's never going to change. So, for example, the ideal time to eat the first meal is the beginning of the third hour after sunlight. So, for example, if the sunrise is at 6 a.m., your first meal would begin at 8 a.m. Now, the only way this can work is if you're getting up with the sun. The biggest factor people have is getting to sleep too late because of late night TV and all this other crap that's on late night TV. People care more about who won American Idol than they do their own health. But if we can limit the late night TV and get to sleep at a decent time, because it's not only the ideal time for us to eat for our health, but it's also the ideal times for us to sleep for our health. You see, we have this notion where people go to work from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Well, another great idea would be if people slept from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. If we could make that happen. So if we get up at the ideal time, if we get up when the sun's coming up, and then we wait till the third hour of sunlight, that would be give our body enough chance to wake up, our digestion to kick in, and then if we're eating the ideal foods, that's the ideal way to do it. So in my book, I give the ideal ways to eat the first, second, and third meal and so on of the day, and I have different stages how people can do this. So I don't expect people to go from what they're doing now. The average person today will eat, believe it or not, 8 to 10 times a day, because every time we eat something, even if it's a snack, the body doesn't know the difference between a meal or a snack. There's no little man in our stomach with a computer saying, here comes a snack or here comes a meal. Anytime we eat something, the body has to work to digest it. And people eat 8 to 10 times a day today. I don't expect somebody to go to eat from 8 to 10 times a day to eating 2 to 3 times a day overnight and not even eating at nighttime. But in my book, I give a program of different stages of how we can each get there and how we can personalize it to our own situations, because we're all in our own situations and we all have to adjust things to our own schedule. But we can't make our schedule adjust to our diet. We have to make our diet adjust to our schedule. For example, some people might work a shift late at night. So in those cases, when you're working late at night, it might be better to eat as close as possible to sunrise and sunset instead of eating in the middle of the night when digestion is at its lowest. But ideally, we want to find a job that we can work during a daylight schedule. Another example is, I know a lot of people out there doing this detox, and I get a lot of emails about how does this detox work for little kids or even women that are pregnant or people that are dealing with disease. I address all of these situations in the program and in my book, but they can all be easily adjusted once you get the basic understanding that the ideal way for me to live from a health standpoint, from a diet standpoint, is most of the activity I do should be when the sun is up. And when the sun is down, that's when it's time for me to wind down and definitely wind down, stop eating, but definitely just wind down my whole schedule and so on. If we just take a look at the way people live today, they go to sleep very late. They get morning because they have to get somewhere and do something. They're so tired, they have to take stimulants to wake themselves up. They have to take stimulants to stay awake. And then they actually have the audacity to complain they can't fall asleep at nighttime. Well, if we're not living off stimulation and we're living off, you know, true health, you know, our body naturally, when the sun goes down, is going to start to wind down and feel tired, and you're going to sleep wonderful. Anyone that eats late at night knows they don't sleep as well as if they eat on an empty stomach. One of the great things I'm excited about in my book is I've done research, and there are some doctors from the 1800s and the 1900s. Dr. Dalio Lewis is actually one of the popular people that I write about. And in his book, he writes specifically about the daylight diet and how much we should eat each day. And from there are many other health advocates of the past that have followed in his footsteps. We look at Sylvester Graham, the fellow who made up the graham cracker, which is not what it was once meant to be. Today it's just a junk food cookie, but it was once meant to be something that was healthy that was eaten during the daytime hours. We look at the Kellogg brothers, who had a health institute, and they recommended eating during daytime, eating, limiting in their eating, practice temperance while they're eating. The Kellogg breakfast cereals was never something that it was once meant to be. And we look at Caleb Jackson, who created granola. Today, granola is just a junk, sweetened junk food that's miscombined, but what it was meant to be was something else. So when we see how far we've drifted away what true health should be, we can get back to understanding how to create that situation no matter where we are in the world. Now, one more point I want to bring up before your next question, Tyra, is some people might say, well, what if we live in Alaska or somewhere else where the sun never sets? Well, there are certain situations a few of us might be in, and in those cases, we have to understand. The ideal times to be eating our food would be between the hours of maybe 8 and 5 o'clock, depending when the sun is up and down. But if there is no sunset normally like it would be, well, we want to eat between the hours of 8 and 5, and we want to make sure we're not eating between the hours of maybe 6 p.m. till the next day. We want to go to sleep on an empty stomach. We want to wake up on an empty stomach. When we do eat, we want to eat the high-quality foods, and that's going to put us in the best situation. Now, if you decide to eat 100% raw food diet, an 80% raw food diet, or any of that, it's not going to be as efficient as it could be if you don't do it according to this program. And we see it out there. We see people on a raw food diet not thriving. Yes, the quality of the food today is not what it was once meant to be, but people aren't looking at the other factors. And your detox is wonderful because the emotional factors of television, of just going out and relaxing and taking a walk instead of staying home and watching a TV and getting emotionally riled up, and all these other factors play a big role in that. But a big role has to do with the times we're eating our meals.
It's really interesting. I'm going to be honest and make my own little confessional that the one thing that I think holds me back, and I mean, I feel like I'm thriving in general. When I look around, I'm miles ahead of anyone else that I encounter. But I think we ultimately have to compare our state of health with what it could be and what, you know, with ourselves and where it is according to time. And I know that I feel that I could burst forth even more if I did handle this one. And one of the things I noticed, and I just wonder if you could address it, because you have talked about the importance of sleep, but one of the things I noticed is I actually, the way that eating starts for me in the evening is when I'm tired. It's one of the ways that I guess I stimulate myself to keep myself awake so that I can work more. Is this something that you address in your book as well?
Sure, it is. And food, because food is really stimulation, if anything else, especially the foods that have the drugs in them. I mean, if a food has caffeine in it, these foods are stimulating foods that will keep us up definitely from that drug alone in there. However, they're all food. Digestion, when digestion is taking place, our body is being stimulated. And if we overeat, yeah, we'll be falling asleep at the kitchen table. However, if we're eating a good amount, the food is stimulating us. I understand exactly what you're saying, because if I'm driving across country and I'm falling asleep, and if I eat something, I might get awake for a little while, but ultimately when I fall asleep, I sleep, you know, my sleep isn't as good, and my sleep lasts longer than it should, whereas if I didn't eat that meal, I might not get that burst of energy or that burst of stimulation. However, when I do sleep, I need less sleep, and it's better quality sleep. However, what I've noticed is, and what I write about in my book is, sleeping at a decent time is so important, because the whole key of eating at the right times is beginning your day at the time we're supposed to begin our day. And the way to achieve that is understanding what truly stimulates us. For example, I cannot, if I do watch television, I cannot go to sleep after at least 3 hours before watching TV, because I'm so stimulated from what I saw. And if it had to be something that was really stimulating, it would even take even longer. I've noticed the same thing with my work, especially computer work, or if I'm in front of any machine, or especially if I'm doing work that I'm excited about. It creates such a stimulation, it's really hard for me to get to work sleep several hours after I've worked. So what I found out is better to do, and for me as well, it was one of the hardest things I ever done. And occasionally I might fall into the trap, but for me what I found is I work much better. And even though if you're not a morning person, you will be eventually if you do what I suggest. But what worked for me was I cut the stimulation down and I get to sleep earlier, and then sometimes I might wake up, you know, very early in the morning, and my mind is so much more focused, I'm so much more refreshed, I'm working on an empty stomach, and it's just everything is, anyone that knows anything about spirituality, when you're not overburdened with food, your communication with, no matter what spirituality beliefs you have, your communication with the divine is much better on an empty stomach. Well, so is your understanding about work and everything. Now, I'm not talking about starving or depleting yourself of food. I'm talking about when you're not full with food, when your stomach is is empty, where you can focus on other things, and your body's not too much, your digestive juices aren't flowing so much where it's taken away your energy from what you should really be doing. So, for example, if I would be sleeping in the old days from midnight to 8 o'clock in the morning, or even midnight to 7 o'clock in the morning, well, if I can get to sleep at 9 or 10 o'clock and get up at 5 or 6 o'clock, those 2 hours in the morning from 6 to 8 a.m., I would get so much more done than if I worked at nighttime from 11 to 1 o'clock in the morning, which I used to be able to get a lot more done during the day just because that's a time when people didn't bother me. But what I find now is so many people stay up late now that people are even bothering me at that time, but very few people are up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. So I get so much more done because people aren't bothering me at that time, so I'm able to focus on what I'm doing. So, yeah, it takes an adjustment period. If you're used to eating late at night, going out, being social, getting to sleep late at night, you're not going to be able to overcome that, you know, in a matter of a couple of days. But what I'm saying is we need to begin to try to overcome that. And whatever the case is, stage one of my diet is just eat when it's daylight and do not eat either when it's dark outside or after 6 p.m., whichever comes first, because some places it stays lighter later. But that's rule number one. If it's dark outside or after 6 p.m., do not eat any food at all, and then eat as much as you need to during the daytime so you're not hungry later at night. That's step number one, and everyone can easily do that. Now, step number two and three gets more into regulating our meals and eating less in each meal and making sure we're eating higher quality foods and eliminating the processed foods and the unfresh foods. And those are the things that you can take time and build up to those things. And, you know, my book gives some tips and secrets of how to help you make that happen. But everyone can ultimately stop eating later at night. And once you start feeling better for it, that's when you really get excited about it. I mean, if you're looking to lose weight, gain energy, or even more important, you know, anti-aging, just looking younger. Tanya Savaska, a good friend of mine, wrote a book called Quantum Eating. I almost fell out of my chair when I was reading the book because she says she doesn't eat after 3 o'clock at night. She's pretty much eating a daylight diet, and she's in great health. If anyone has seen her, her skin looks like the skin of a young girl, and she's a mother of several kids and much advanced in age than a young girl. But that's what this diet does. And there are so many people all over the world that preach eating a daylight diet. The yogis they around the world, they don't eat after a certain amount of time, or when it's not dark outside, they stop eating when it's dark outside. In the Bible itself, a lot of people that lived the long lives, one of the keys to their long life was they didn't eat when it was dark outside. They only ate during certain times, and the first meal was usually at the third hour of daylight.
I love this because I get so many emails from people who are obsessed about what they're eating. They're just torturing themselves, feeling guilty because they ate this, because they ate that. I love this because it's taking the attention off of what and putting the attention on when and how, and just if, I mean, when you were talking about step one, you know, and just making that change, even if people did not necessarily change the food that they were eating right away, but made that change, I mean, I just know it would make a huge, huge difference. So it's pretty exciting stuff.
It definitely will. The exciting thing about the program I lay out in my book is I first recommend and suggest everyone give it a try. I suggest everyone try and eat just at daylight, and I'm always open to people to contact me and talk to me about the challenges they had, because I want to help other people, because if they're having a challenge with something, I'm sure other people are as well. And the more I can address those challenges, the more it's going to help people accomplish better health, and that's my ultimate goal, to help people do that. Now, the great thing about it is there is an advanced stage where somebody can ultimately eat a certain amount of meals each day and do this at the right times. But the final stage of my book and the final chapter of my book, I talk about now you know what to do, you know what stages to do it. However, now's the time for each person to put this information into their own life and create their own personal schedule around the things I talk about in this book and in the Daylight Diet program, and they can adjust it to what works best for them, always remembering the number one rule: when it's late outside or nighttime, do not eat. So, for example, if I suggest we should be eating for ideal digestion no more than 2 times a day and eating the 3rd and the 9th hour, let's say, of daylight, and somebody tries that and they experience it, they feel great and wonderful, and that's all I recommend is people give it a try and experience it for themselves. Now, if people for some reason can't or don't want to continue doing that, that's when they could adjust it and make it personalized towards their own schedule, saying, you know what, it's a little better for me to eat 3 meals a day or even to eat maybe the 2nd hour and the 5th hour of daylight, just to be aware of what's worked best for them and what's more feasible for them as long as they're not eating later at night. So I talk about that, and it really helps people understand, like, there's not one way for everyone to do it. There's one rule for everyone, because if you're eating at nighttime, you're not on a daylight diet. But there's different ways to do it. There's a big problem today with a lot of people focusing on how much they're eating in terms of counting calories and counting fats and counting sugars and all this stuff. Well, you got to walk around with a calculator to just know that you're even doing something right. Well, the great thing is with this program, all you got to do is look up at the sky and say, "Is a light outside? I could eat." And then you can work everything from there, because the body, the digestion is so much better at that time. There's a big difference. Let me give you a great example. There's a tremendous difference between eating an apple at noontime and eating an apple at midnight. A tremendous difference it has on a body. If you eat an apple at noontime, you're get and if it's a high quality apple, raw, ripe, fresh, and organic, you're getting all the nutrients your body needs, and it's the ideal digestion for that apple. So it's going through your body as quick as possible while letting your body assimilate all the nutrients and enzymes as easy as possible. If you take that same apple and you eat it at midnight, not only is it not the ideal digestion, but it's going to affect your sleep, it's going to affect how you feel the next day. You're not going to be able to get everything out of you would have gotten out of it if you eaten it in the daytime. So there's such a big difference. So if one of your problems about eating a healthy diet is money, well, the more efficient your digestion, the less you'll need to eat. So one of the keys to eating less is eating when it's light outside. So the more effective your assimilation is, and the less you're eating, the less money you're spending on food. So it goes in every area. There's every way you look at it, it's better for our health if you stop eating this type of diet. Now, of course, there are people that say, I'm a nighttime person, I'm a night owl, and so on. Well, we're not nocturnal animals. We're not, you know, our eyes don't glow in the dark, and we don't have this night ray vision. We're designed to sleep during the nighttime, and we're designed to be awake during the daytime. Now, the body has an amazing capability to adapt to its environment and to adapt to its diet, but that doesn't mean just because it's adapting that's ideal. It's the ideal way to do it is the way we're designed to do it, and that is when the sun comes up, the birds stop chirping, and the air is fresh, and that's when we should be awake and active and moving. And when the sun goes down, you know, let the vampires come out, but that's time for us to go to sleep. We shouldn't be dealing and messing with all these things, that these stimulants to keep us awake, these entertainments to keep us stimulated to stay awake, and all this stuff. We'll find we'll be much better off if we follow this program.
It's interesting you say that, just because I really recall having lived in the jungle, exactly the words you're using, you know. It's when the sun comes down, that's when it becomes, it's like, then the playing field that we have in the day becomes the territory of someone else, and it's really, you start to feel like you're prey, and it's time for the snakes and the nocturnal animals to go about and do their thing. So it really is living way more in connection with a natural lifestyle and nature.
Well, I have found something amazing. I mean, I've studied so much old health books to find out, you know, what's the way it was done and how the medical community has changed things today and what really worked and didn't work. The greatest health book I have found out there is the scriptures, and I've wrote so many books about the health message found within the scriptures. But what I found is We look at in the Garden of Eden, we look at man was giving certain instructions of what to eat and when to eat. And as long as they followed those instructions, everything was fine. It was a paradise. But once man got away from the instructions of the way we were designed to do something, that's when we started to suffer. And it continues to happen. We look at many of the Bible figures, the characters in the Bible, who ate a diet of fruits and vegetables at the right time. They were up early in the morning, and they were doing their job. Now, if those people were watching American Idol till midnight or late at night or something else on TV, and they didn't have time to get up in the morning, if you wake up 11 o'clock in the morning, you're not going to be able to eat the right amount of food at the right times because you've already missed some of your important healing times to begin with. And that's where it begins, and it goes on from there. And you see any health writer of the past that really had an idea what they were talking about and that lived a long time will say this. And one chapter in my book that I was just working on this morning I'm excited about was all these old health writers and what they did and how they overcome it. John Wesley, it was another great health writer in the 1700s, and he wrote all about eating with temperance and not overeating, but not eating when it was dark outside. I mean, it's not a new thing, this daylight diet. It's just bewilders me how so many people have missed it, but that's what the advertisers and the world today, it just wants us to avoid, because if we didn't partake in entertainment late at night, if we didn't eat late at night and do all these things, you know, people would start to lose some money, and then, you know, especially the health, the doctors and so on, because we wouldn't be as sick as we are. The key to health is keeping your digestion working as efficient as possible. You know, and there's many ideas, and people have different ways of what they think is best to do it. Some people think they need to eat this or that. That's fine. Whatever you want to believe, that's fine. But I am telling you, without a doubt, eat when it's light outside, and your health will be much better for it.
The other thing I want to say, too, is because I know you get, I mean, we all see it. There's a lot of contradiction and conflict, and some people say you need to do this, and some people say you need to do that. Ultimately, I think what matters is that people take this information and apply it and find out for themselves. Because you can listen and listen and listen and hear all the advice coming out of your ears. It's when you actually apply the information and get the results that this becomes meaningful. So now one of the things I just want to mention is that you and I are actually working right now. I know you have this planned to do a special program to help people apply these over time. I know your book is coming, but even before the book comes out, you have a program coming out to help people start implementing these tools, so I'm sure that that will make a big difference.
Exactly. What I'm going to do is go through my book step by step with people, and in this program we'll not only go step by step with everyone, but we will leave certain times for questions, and still even now people can email me and I can go over the questions, and on YouTube I'm doing things and just getting the information out there more about these things. So the program is going to be really exciting, and it's going to be help a lot of people understand this more clearly. But until that time, I highly recommend everyone, you know, continue to stick with the detox program that you're doing with the Raw Divas. It's such an excellent way to get your body and your mind revved up for what I'm about to reveal in this daylight eating system. And in the meantime, just pay attention and focusing on, well, do I have a problem eating late at night, or does my schedule show me or dictate how I should eat, or should I be dictating, you know, those times? And we need to look at that. Now, there are certain instances and situations like, you know, for example, we just had a baby, and my baby's 1 month old right now, and my wife is breastfeeding, and she's a pregnant woman, and, you know, so there are different things that come up in situations, and I know there are other people wondering, well, what happens in situations like that? Well, for example, is when I say adjusted towards our time, you know, I definitely expect my wife to eat more than she would as if she wasn't breastfeeding, because she just needs more nutrients and she needs to. But I've noticed from watching her and many other pregnant women, even though she's breastfeeding throughout the night, so my baby's not on a daylight diet yet because she's breastfeeding, and that's very important. The baby needs to eat often. But even though my newborn is eating throughout the night, my wife is not. My wife pretty much does eat a meal after the sun comes down, but she pretty much stops eating at 9 o'clock at night. She definitely will not eat after that. She doesn't need to. And there's no reason why a woman that's breastfeeding should need to eat after 9 p.m. at night. If she's on this daylight eating schedule, even though she's eating that one meal at night, that might be an exception. But she doesn't have to think she needs to eat all throughout the night as much as the baby is breastfeeding. She needs to eat. That's not true. If she's eating good, high-quality foods, she can stop at a certain time. We need to give our body that rest between our meals and also between our sleep to make sure we're given a time to cleanse. And that's what we're going to cover, all these different situations, these personalized situations. During our program, we're going to do this 10-day program. I'm really excited to do that, and I encourage everyone to get on that program. And I believe the Raw Divas, along with myself, have such a similar goal, and that's why I'm so excited to work with Tara, is to help people and get this message out there. So we're going to do our best, and I'm pretty sure we're going to do this. We're going to do our best to make this program free. If there's any fee, it'll be a very small fee, but we're going to do our best to make this 10-day daylight diet program for free or as little cost as possible so people do not have an excuse why they can't jump on board and do this. We're going to make it as easy and as simple and as fun as possible to do this. Anyone that has seen me speak or lecture, read my books, or seen my stuff on Google, I tell you know I'm all about fun and enjoying what you're doing. If you're not enjoying it, do not do it. I don't care if you have to eat in the middle of the night. If you are not enjoying the daylight diet, if your health is not improving, you are either doing something wrong or it's not for you. My experience is you're doing something wrong. Check with me and I'll make sure you correct that and then it'll work. But if you are not enjoying what you're doing, there's no reason to keep doing it. So we need to make sure we enjoy it. And anyone that sees me, hears me, and reads my stuff, it's all about fun and enjoying what you're doing. We have to avoid stress. And if you're getting stressed out about this, if you're listening to this call right now and you're getting stressed out thinking, this sounds great, but I can't do it, well, just relax, take a deep breath, and understand I'm here to help you. My book, I'm making it as simple as possible for you. Tara and the Raw Divas are making this program where we can get this information out and make it as simple as possible for you to understand. We will answer your questions. We won't answer the same question over and over again, but we will answer or address all the questions and help people as much as possible, and we will make this work for everyone because we ultimately want everyone to experience great health. The reason I got into doing this was because I was stricken with an illness called inflammatory bowel disease, which the doctors told me there was no cure for. The doctors told me I was a high risk for colon cancer at a young age. I got scared. I lived with a lot of fear and so on. But I learned that there was an answer, and I learned that there was a cure, and I got well again. And it saddens me to see that there's so many people selling information today, and some people mask it with the raw food diet name that's really not healthy for them. And it even makes me feel worse that people are not telling people or warning people that they shouldn't be eating late at night, they shouldn't be eating before going to sleep. I was giving a lecture once in Chicago, and this lady came up to me, or this young girl came up to me, and she was so excited I was in town. I guess she didn't know my message too well, and she said, me and a couple of friends after the lecture, we would like to invite you to our house to have some cacao durian smoothies at midnight. And I could just laugh to say, well, you know, if you know anything about me, you know, that's the last thing you'll find me doing. The only thing good that you mentioned was durian. But, you know, maybe if it was in the daytime, I'd have some durian. But cacao durian smoothies at midnight, I don't care if it's whatever it is at midnight. It's not for me, and it's not for any of us. But I understand if somebody out there, don't hang up yet if that's what you're doing, because I could be honest and tell everyone out there, when I first started eating this way, and I talk about this in my book, when I first started eating a raw food diet, I would eat around the clock more than anyone I ever met. I didn't get on this crazy cacao kick, but I would eat around the clock more than anyone you've ever met. I was one of these people that thought, oh, I don't put on weight, so I'm blessed, I could eat anything. So I ate everything. And I would eat 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning raw food recipes like you wouldn't believe. And at first it was a step in the right direction because it was an improvement because I did change the quality of the food I was eating. But then later I have found out if I just improved the times I was eating, all the more better. And then when I stopped eating around the clock and I stopped eating so much food, my health improved even more. And that's what I'm telling you. No matter where you're at, that's fine, but you can always take it further. And that's what this book helps you do. Now, a good friend of mine, Dr. Fred Bishy, he's been a raw foodist for over 45 years. He's in his 80s. He just came out with a book called Your Health Journey. And he always talks about, and always talked about, not eating late at night and the importance of daylight and darkness and it has on our digestive system. And it's amazing how much energy and health this man has. He's a living example of what the daylight diet can do for everyone. And I am making it available for everyone. And I'm just so excited about it, as you can tell. And you know, everyone can have this great opportunity. So, you know, you can reach me through my website, paulneeson.com. I have a newsletter. If you're not already on it, sign up for it. I'll be writing more and more about this and do this detox with the Raw Divas. By just being on this phone call, you've already taken a tremendous step toward your health. And I'm so excited we're doing this phone call in the daytime and not late at night. It's just so wonderful. And I know some people out there couldn't get to hear it because they're working now, which is a good thing. But you will be able to let other people hear this later on. You could sign up during the daytime and listen to it. But really, I mean, I'm not perfect. There are times where I get so excited about writing and doing things. I look at my clock and it starts creeping towards a later hour at nighttime. And I realize it's 8, 9 o'clock and I'm still on the computer and I say, I got to get off this thing. But lately, more than ever, I notice. I say, hey, when I don't get to sleep at the right time, if I don't get eat my meal at the right time, I'm not excited the next day to forget about getting up. When I get up, I'm not enthusiastic to exercise like I usually am. My whole thinking is not clearer. So now I've made it a rule, and anyone that knows me, I'm one of the most disciplined people you ever meet. You know, I made it a rule. Hey, I'm shutting my computer by this time. I'm in bed by this time, and I'm eating at these times. And the enthusiasm will just help keep that going. And we all have an opportunity to do that.
Well, one of the things I do want to thank you for is, I mean, this. I'd love to get into one other thing, but one of the things I want to thank you for is it really comes across that you're living what you're preaching. And that's not something we encounter all the time. People like to give advice, but they aren't necessarily applying it themselves. But so we can hear in your passion and enthusiasm and the fact that you are out there as an example, you're really living what you're teaching. So I wanted to just acknowledge you for that because I think that, you know, that does take discipline and commitment. And so, yeah, that's good.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And I know we don't have much more time on this call, but we will have other calls and other events. But I want to let everyone out there that's listening know right now, even though I am so disciplined, strict, or whatever you want to call it. You know, I call it efficient. Some people might call it anal, but whatever you want to call it, I want to make it clear to everyone, you do not need to be 100% perfect to achieve great health. You don't need to eat 100% raw foods. You don't need to never again in your life eat night late at night. If your daughter's getting married and they serve dinner at night, don't say, Paul Neeson said I can't eat at night. No, eat at night and enjoy that meal. But for the most part, what you do is going to determine your health. So there are a few exceptions, but don't make an excuse, consistency in doing things that are wrong. So again, you don't have to be 100% raw. You don't have to eat 100% vegan. You don't have to eat 100% in the daylight. But for the most part, the majority of your time, you want to make sure you're sleeping and eating on the way we were designed to be doing that. So, Tyra, what's your next question or thing you wanted to say?
Well, you've covered it really well, and you're finishing it on a great place. So we don't have to go into it anymore than that. I think that's perfect. I just know that the other big part of what you teach is temperance. So lots of what we've discussed in this call so far is about eating in the day, which is obviously the theme of the book. But I know another thing that, and we can't cover this book in one call. I know there's a lot in it, and the program that's going to be coming we'll go into these things more, but I know the other thing that you do address is the subject of overeating, which I think is probably as important as daylight eating. And I know you have a lot to say on that, but maybe we'll wait for a future teleseminar or the upcoming program to get into more details about that one.
That sounds good, but you got to give me a minute here to just talk about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, good. Go for it.
So, if you read my last book, was called The Formula for Health. And when I wrote The Formula for Health, it was based on the works by Professor Arnold Errett, who wrote a great book called The Mucusless Diet Healing System, probably one of the greatest titles for a book that ever came out. But in his book, he talked about something called The Formula for Life, which I say life is health. And the formula is basically power minus obstruction equals vitality. And I won't get too much into it here, but I could tell you the only way we can achieve that formula is by not overeating, by practicing temperance while we're eating. And in all my health studies, the Bible talks about temperance in all areas of life. And one of the seven deadly sins is overindulgence or gluttony. And there's a great health writer of the past, Ellen White, who's famous from Seventh-day Adventist, and she wrote a lot of information about practicing temperance while eating. And in my research, I was so happy to see that Ellen White practiced under a fellow named Caleb Jackson, who was the first person to invent granola cereal, and he recommended temperance while eating. And then I saw that he followed Sylvester DeGraham's work, who practiced temperance while eating or not overeating. And then I found out the Kellogg's were also students of his. And in history, all throughout history, way back from the Garden of Eden all the way up to John Wesley in the 1600s in Europe, all the way up to Professor Arnold Errett to Dr. Fred Bishy, the main key is not overeating, and then, of course, not eating late at night. Now, we can just take this further and find out, well, what are the ideal times to eat and so on. But if for some reason a person has to eat at nighttime or when it's dark outside, you want to be sure that you're not overeating in that meal. And that's where practicing temperance comes in. And it's an emotional and physical thing that all works together that I discuss in my book.
Perfect. I am very, very excited. This has been a super enlightening call, and you have loads of energy and enthusiasm, and we're really grateful for how generously you're sharing this information and very excited about the upcoming program. So maybe just give everybody your resources again, and then we'll let you get on with maybe it's time for your daylight meal. I'm not sure what you've got going on today, but we really do appreciate your time.
That's fine. Now, my website is paulneeson.com, and that's N-I-S-O-N, paulneeson.com. And from paulneeson.com, there's a lot of information. There's a lot of information on paulneeson.com, but from there you can go to my blog, and you can look at almost daily updates of what I'm talking about on my blog website, and that's on paulneeson.com, and just click on the blog right there under the quick links. And on my link page, you can link to my nonprofit ministry of Torah Life Ministries, which talks about health according to the scriptures, and also my web store where you could buy Dr. Fred Bishy's book, Your Healthy Journey, and that's rawlife.com. So I look forward to hearing from everyone, and I look forward to teaching everyone. And I'm also going to be on the road on my website, paulneeson.com. You can see my lecture schedule. I'm starting to plan it now. This summer I'll be going all throughout the Midwest, Kansas City, Texas, Oklahoma. And all throughout this year, when these books come out, I'm going to be going all over the country. I have two books coming out in June, The Daylight Diet and also Eating According to the Scriptures. I've written many books already and videos, and you can go on YouTube and see those. And I'm excited to work with the Tara and the Raw Divas, and I'm excited to help everyone. So thank you so much for this call, and I look forward to hearing from everyone, and I pray that everyone enjoys the sun, and thank you very much.
That's fantastic. Thanks again for your time, and a big thank you to all the listeners who took their time to share in this call, and hope that everyone can go from here and at least start by gradient, taking some of what we've learned here in this call and applying it to your life so you can start experiencing for yourself the benefits of some of the things that Paul has been talking about. And, of course, we do look forward to having more updates in your upcoming programs and books. So thanks again, Paul. Have a fantastic day.
Thank you. Thank you. And remind people that they can hear this again if they didn't get to hear it now later
on. Of course. Yeah, all the links that are available will lead directly to the recording. So.
Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Thanks, Paul. Bye-bye.